May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 319. How light, while supported by grace, are all the afflictions I see. To those the dear Lord of my peace, my Jesus, has suffered for me. To him every comfort I owe, above what the fiends have in hell. And shall I not sing as I go, that Jesus does everything well? Hymn number 319.
Thank you. read together from the Word of God, Book of Job, reading a few verses from chapter 2, then reading from chapter 23. Reading together from the Book of Job, chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him to destroy him, without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd, to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. May the Lord bless those two portions that we've read together. May he bless it to us, and we add our amen to it. And may he teach us how to pray. O Lord God, who art the God of thy people, God Almighty, God who is holy, God who is just, and God who is true, and Lord, we are unholy, we're sinners, we feel it to be so, besetting sins. How can we approach unto thee? We thank thee for the gift of thy dearly beloved Son. We thank thee for the merits of his life, the merits of his person. We thank thee for his sufferings and his death for sinners upon the tree at Calvary. And we thank thee, Lord, that we have known somewhat of that precious blood of Christ to cleanse, to heal, and to restore us, and to reconcile us unto thee, O God our Father. We thank thee for the unspeakable gift of thy dearly beloved Son, for if it were not for the grace that should appear with him, we should all be left in a never-ending eternity in hell and damnation. Lord, help us, Lord, that we might at this time, as we have been favoured to gather together in thy name, lift thee up and exalt thee, praise and bless thy name for all the mercy that we have found in salvation and redemption, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to appear, draw near to each one of us, and in the midst of this gathering, according to thy promise, make this gathering complete, Lord, with thy presence. And Lord, we do pray that we may each be drawn to thee by and through the power and unction of thy Holy Spirit, devoted to thee in true worship, in true devotion, true love of thy name, and grant through thy Spirit that we may be helped to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, be pleased to come to each one of us. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy care, keeping towards us throughout the days, the hours of another week that are now past, Lord. O Lord, we do pray that we may reflect upon all the mercy, the goodness, and the provision of thyself towards us, supplying all our needs, and how that, Lord, in thy providence, thou hast provided and supplied everything for us. Thou hast given to us the measure of health and strength naturally, Lord, for it cometh from thee. And we thank thee, Lord, for the same. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast brought us to the sanctuary of thy house and to worship at thy feet. And we each come, Lord, with differing needs and differing concerns, different troubles, Lord, and different trials in our way and path. O Lord, afflictions that we've sung together of, and those things that come in and upon us, Lord, here below, sickness and disease, those things, Lord, in our homes, our families. O Lord, in all these afflictions and troubles, Lord, be pleased to appear unto each and every one of us. We pray thee, come to our help, Lord, and come to our need. There is a wonderful word, Lord, in the scriptures, Lord, concerning all those, Lord, that are the tried, the afflicted, the tempted of thy people. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Oh, the mercy, our great high priest above, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, knowest all our case, and not will, and truly will not bring upon thy people any more than that they can bear. But oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, that we can come to thee, and under thy promise, thou art the helper of thy people. Thou art that only one that can support and strengthen their faith, you know, under afflictions and troubles and trials and tribulations. And Lord, if there be any here, Lord, under such afflictions, be pleased to appear for them, Lord. Come to their help, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do pray, help them to be submissive to thee. Sanctify those things to them, Lord. But help them, Lord, to lift up their heads unto thee, Lord, in prayer and supplication. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And Lord, we do pray then, appear unto them. Come to the needs of thy people. Grant them, Lord, a confirmation, a token, Lord, in their souls, that thou art with them, Lord, and thou knowest all about them, Lord. Maybe trying to faith, Lord, but, O Lord, truly that faith, Lord, in their believing faith in thee, will come forth as gold tried in the furnace. Oh, be pleased then to come to each and every one of them. Be their helper, Lord, and keep them and preserve them, and help them, Lord, to look to thee. Oh, to Lord, come to one who is able to do great things, one indeed who is able to appear for thy people, and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, nothing being too hard for thee. O Lord, help them then to come and to lean upon the rock Christ Jesus. O that wondrous mercy, Lord, that belongs to thy poor people. I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, but they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And Lord, we haven't got any other name to go to. No other one, Lord, that can bring us through our course. No other one, Lord, to whom we can trust in, but one indeed who is always near to thy people. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Be pleased then to come to each one of us. Be pleased to come at this time, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that our time spent together, that it may be a good time and a profitable time, Lord. Be pleased to draw our hearts away from all the inferior things of time and sense, all hindrances and distractions, we pray thee, Lord. And may we each know in a very singular way that true worship and devotion to thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to draw near to our case, Lord, and our need. And Lord, what a mercy it is, Lord, that we've come to hear thy word. O my sheep, hear my voice. And that is our mercy, Lord, if we each come to hear thy voice, thy pardoning love to sinners, Lord. Oh, what a glorious voice that is to one sin-convicted sinner. A glorious truth, a gospel truth, good news of salvation to those unworthy of it. Oh, Lord, do be pleased to appear, Lord, and help us, Lord, to follow thee as thy poor sheep here below, waiting upon thee, Lord, and looking to thee, Lord, to lead us and to guide us all our journey through, thanking thee, Lord, that thou hast enclosed us in the fold of thy grace, to keep us, Lord, and to hold us fast unto thee, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we may be in the experience and the blessing of it, Lord, putting a wall of fire round about us, and thou the glory in the midst. Oh, we do need to be kept, Lord. We cannot keep ourselves, Lord. There is nothing in ourselves, Lord, whereby we can keep ourselves. Thou knowest, Lord. And how many times, Lord, have we often spoken the truth to thee, Lord, to keep us, preserve us each, Lord. Preserve us in thy love and fear. Keep our hearts stayed upon thee, Lord. It is only thou, Lord, that will bring thy people all their journey through. O Lord, we cannot come forth to a day, Lord, without seeking thy help, Lord, without asking thee to go before us, Lord, without praying, Lord, to keep us from all evil, Lord, and from all wickedness. Help us each to abstain from all appearance of evil, we pray thee, Lord. And deliver us, Lord, from Antichrist, Lord. It is on every hand, every side, Lord. There is none that seek thy face. There is none that fear thy name, Lord. Oh, but there is a remnant through grace, Lord. Oh, there is a few poor sinners, Lord, whom thou hast set apart for thy honour and glory. Not that there is anything in themselves, Lord. It is all of grace. It is all what thou hast done, Lord. O Lord, we do pray, help us to continue, Lord, and to wait upon thee, Lord, to be true seekers of thy face, we pray thee, and lead us all our journey through, Lord. O Lord, that we may go forth in that way that thou wilt have us to go, Lord. And, Lord, if we come to a crossroads, Lord, we do pray, help us to come to the throne of grace, Lord, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to lead us and to guide us into that way that thou wilt have us to go. Thou hast promised, I will guide thee continually. And, Lord, that is, Lord, our mercy. We will need to come, Lord, to the throne of grace, for that guidance, be our counsellor all our journey through. That one indeed who hath infinite wisdom to lead and guide thy people through their course here below. O Lord, we do pray, if there be any inquiring their way, Lord, through this day, Lord, seeking and asking, Lord, and wanting, Lord, to know those things that are before them, decisions to make, Lord. Help them to come to thee, Lord. Thou wilt, Lord, come to that one that is sincere in heart and mind, and that one that truly wants to follow thee and to serve thee and to do that is right in thy sight. So, Lord, hear us in our prayers and petitions. We thank thee for bringing us to this day, Lord. We do pray that this may be the day that the Lord hath made, a day, Lord, of visitation, a day, Lord, where thou wilt grant a token for good, a day, Lord, where thou wilt appear unto each one of us, and let thy word indeed be a word in season to our souls, to do us good, to build us up, to edify us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we ask these great blessings and mercies, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, continue to be with thy people here that gather together week by week in thy name. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that in this little spot here, this little corner of thy vineyard, the gospel is preached and proclaimed. And Lord, a witness, Lord, of thy work of grace, thy care, keeping and preservation of thy people, and Lord, showing also how very near thou art to thy people. Thou knowest, Lord, that they seek that living bread, whereupon their souls might live, have life, and may have it more abundantly. And Lord, thou art that bread of life. And if thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to grant a living morsel for each of our souls, then, Lord, that will be our mercy. Come to every one of us, Lord. Leave none, Lord, to go forth from thy house this day without some word in season, without they can say truth in their souls that we've been with Jesus. O Lord, we ask these mercies. And O Lord, we pray thee, give us thankful hearts that we can come together freely and at liberty to worship at thy feet. Be pleased, Lord, that thy gospel may have free course, and be pleased, Lord, to help each and every one of thy sent servants to proclaim thine everlasting gospel, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant journeying mercies to many that travel many miles this day, Lord, but even the shorter distances, Lord, we need thee at all times, Lord. Oh, to be with us, Lord. And so, Lord, may thy gospel go forth. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be their helper, Lord. Help them to stand forth in thy name, Lord, and grant them, Lord, thy mercy. Grant them thy word. Grant them the teaching of thy Spirit. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt also appear here unto thy servant and unto thy people here. We each need thy help, Lord, the help of thy Spirit. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt put the rich treasure of thy gospel grace into his earthen vessel, and through the Spirit take of the things of Jesus, show them unto us, open the hearts of thy people to hear and to receive thy word, mixed with faith. And we pray for the honour and glory of thy great and holy name, seeking the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 618. The path that Christians tread to reason's eye is strange. Through regions of the dead they frequently must range. 10,000 monstrous beasts of prey beset the soul by night and day. Hymn 618.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and seek to draw your attention to the book of Job, chapter 23, and reading from verse 11 and 12, just the first part of verse 12. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. It is a wonderful word that is here shown to us, the nature of Job in a great affliction. It must be said that to have a body of boils, awful boils, covering his body, how awful and uncomfortable in respect of wearing our garments. One boil coming up in all its soreness, another boil healing, and yet another boil coming up following that. How long Job suffered with this, we do not know. But it was an awful disease to come upon the body. If we just see the words that we read in chapter 2, it says of Job, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. Part of a broken pot to scrape off, perhaps to try and relieve it of the pus and so forth and bring a quicker healing process. But oh, the itching and the soreness, it wouldn't take that away. It was an awful affliction, but it was by divine permission. By divine permission of the Lord, it was appointed of the Lord, this affliction, this trouble, this awful disease, the sores, boils that came upon him. But Satan was the instrument used in the Lord's hand to carry out the Lord's purpose. But the Lord, he was that one who had the rule and the governance over the whole matter. And dear friends, when sicknesses and afflictions and troubles and trials come in and upon us, we can see that yes, Satan is the instrument. Sin is in it all, really. From our fall of our first parents, sin came in. Afflictions, sicknesses, diseases, death came in upon us. But the Lord is able to overrule. And we may have known in our little experiences here below now that the Lord has perhaps restored us from our sicknesses, from our diseases. And then there will be those times when he may not, when the Lord's purpose is, perhaps in sickness and disease, that the Lord would be pleased to take his people to himself. And that is far better, dear friends. We may not see it immediately, but it is, dear friends, to the glory of his name, when the Lord is pleased to take his people to himself, the work of grace is done. And the promise is that in the Lord Jesus, they shall have eternal life through him. And he has prayed to his heavenly Father that his people would be with him in glory. Dear then, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Was it anything in Job then? He says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Was it anything in Job that could do that? Was it any will, any strength, any putting forth of his own wisdom, any energy in himself, that his foot hath held his steps? No, there is no good thing in us by nature. Nothing. We're poor things, dear friends. When the Lord brought grace into our souls, he brought us to nothing. And he never gave us anything after that, dear friends, whereby we could ever help ourselves. Because the Lord is intended and purposed to reveal and manifest himself, to be that only one that can bring his people through their course. When grace came to change us, we were never, ever, dear friends, to live to ourselves again. Never. We live to Jesus. We live upon his mercy. We live upon his care. We live upon his keeping. We live upon his preservation. He is the only one, and it's to the glory of his name, that can come to any one of us and help us through our course here below. And we're never to think we can come through ourselves. Never. There was nothing in Job that would enable him to say this, my foot hath held his steps. Job was in unutterable weakness and insufficiency even of himself here. See the poor man, the helpless man, the weak man, the afflicted man, the tried man. What could he do? Nothing. So how is it then that he was able to say these most precious words, my foot hath held his steps? In other words, he has followed his Lord. First, in this affliction, we're following in the path of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. We're following in his steps, really, his way concerning us. I'm just looking for a word that in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." And that is our mercy. It's a humble submission to the Lord. And we need grace in our hearts for this submission. And this is how Job was able to continue. There are those things here then with Job that we may just notice, and was able to bear up and support Job in this awful disease and sickness that has come upon him. And it was most awful, dear friends. We don't know how long he endured it. I do believe that the whole book of Job was all within 1 year at least. "My foot hath held his steps." We read together then in the second chapter. Let us just look at one or two considerations here. And let us see, dear friends, the way forward for ourselves through our afflictions and our troubles and our trials. The Lord spake unto Satan. You know, dear friends, Satan thought he had Job. He really did. "Touch his flesh and he will curse thee to thy face." He thought he'd won him back. And we will see here that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And that is our mercy, isn't it? And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man?" Can there be such in the earth? A perfect and an upright man? Dear friends, what is it? It's that new man of grace within the soul, isn't it? He stands whole and perfect and upright through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, a perfect man. Let us make no mistake about it. We must think here of the faith of the Old Testament saints and the sacrifices and the offerings. Dear friend, remember what Abel saw and beheld. He saw in his sacrifice, he saw a precious Christ. He saw the promise of the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And he made sacrifice according to that. He sacrificed a lamb typifying Jesus. It was his faith in him, faith in his blood and righteousness. Blood was shed. This is Job, a perfect and an upright man, changed and renewed by grace, brought to see, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus was his Saviour and his Redeemer. And dear friends, he was a man then humbled under the mighty hand of God. Anyone who has been changed and renewed by grace, dear friends, they're brought low and brought to nothing in and of themselves, so that the grace of God should shine forth in their hearts. And it shines forth. It shines forth in the new creature, the new man within. And that is what Job was. And dear friends, we all want this. Every one of us. We need it. Perfect and an upright man. One that was just and true, not in and of himself, but through Jesus. And this is the blessing here, my foot hath held his steps. It was that new man within, that cleaves to Jesus, that follows him, that serves him, that glorifies him. You see, and when we're whole and complete in Jesus, we will always be those that shall praise and bless the Lord for the mercy that should come to us, that we shall be delivered from ourselves, from sin, from all its guilt and defilement. Well, this is the mercy, isn't it? This is the mercy that belongs to Job. He isn't his own anymore. It belongs to Christ. And he's following Christ after the new man, the new creature. The new creature goes after Christ, follows him, serves him, delights in him, loves him, embraces him, and his word, his promises, his salvation. And then this wonderful truth, perfect and upright man, one that feared God. Oh, this is such a wonderful truth, that feared God, the fear of God in his poor soul, that fear of God which denotes the whole worship of God. He reverences God, honors his God. His God is first. His God, it glorifies God to be following him with this fear of the Lord in our hearts. It's a reverential fear, and it's a fear that will honor him. And it is a fear that God himself has put within the heart so that we shall serve him and worship him. It is a fear. If I can just come to the truth of it in Jeremiah 32. He says, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. One heart and one way. Dear friends, what a mercy it is. I will remove from them the heart of stone, put within them a heart of flesh, and it will put his spirit within us, his fear into our hearts. And this is that fear that will enable us fully to worship him, to serve him, and to glorify him. This fear of the Lord will honor him, that our God, in all our way and path, whatever may come into our lives, whatever changes we may experience, what enemies we may face, this fear of the Lord is in our hearts, dear friends. It will hold us to him. It says, I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from thee. How strong and powerful is this fear of the Lord in the heart. It holds us to him. And then this truth, my foot hath held his steps, is fear in our hearts. I do believe that this was the fear in the heart of Joseph, dear friends, when Potiphar's wife sought to lure him, and he could not sin and offend against his God. This fear of the Lord. What a mercy it is to have this fear of the Lord in our hearts. It is an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. May it be so with every one of us as we journey forth. Let us hold fast to our God, dear friends, in everything that concerns us, whatever our concerns and whatever our needs might be here below. Let us commit everything to him. Let us follow him and in his steps. Job is one now. He is walking with his God. See it, my foot hath held his steps. And he is following that course that has been appointed for him. What a mercy it is, dear friends. This is the glory of what it is to be a true follower and a disciple of the Lord. And then this wonderful truth in respect of Job, one that escheweth evil. Oh, dear friends, may the Lord keep us and preserve us unto him. May we know what it is to be safe in his hands and secure there. My foot hath held his steps. And when his foot had held his steps, it was also this one, dear friends, it was in submission to the Lord's holy and sovereign will concerning him. Oh, this is the truth, dear friends. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. He is in submission to his Lord. And dear friends, when afflictions and troubles and trials come into our way and path, remember that they're divinely appointed. And this wonderful truth from this, to be subject to the Lord, submissive to him. You know, the Lord will bring us through such a way and a path where we will be brought to see that we are kept. We are kept. And the Lord is that one that will keep us. He will preserve us unto himself. But what a mercy it is that we can flee to him in respect of all our troubles, trials and afflictions here below. My foot hath held his steps. And we pray for this truth in respect of ourselves. We do not know, dear friends, what may come in and upon us, what is divinely appointed for us, but is from the Lord. Job here wasn't in a murmuring and a complaining spirit. His friends thought great evil of him at times, you know. He had much to suffer and to endure from them. If I may just speak, in the previous chapter, in chapter 22, it says, "Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquity is infinite?" We mustn't connect this word infinite with our God, dear friends. It's the mass here of sin that they're speaking about. And they're calling it in respect of Job. And they got no root and foundation for it. None at all. "Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite?" What an awful thing to say. They'd come to comfort him. "Miserable comforters ye are," he said. The Lord's people do need comforting. We do need grace, and we do need to understand the Lord's will. He says, "Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken." Words without foundation, spoken to Job. And there's a word, you know, in chapter 16 and verse 19, and it says this: "Also now behold," Job says, "my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." What a mercy that is, dear friends. You know, his witness is in heaven. And that is true in respect of every one of us, isn't it? Job was sincere. He was here, and truly a man upright, and all those accusations brought against him. My witness is in heaven. And dear friends, we have a witness in heaven. May the Lord be our witness to our lives here below. We will need grace to continue. Grace, dear friends, to commit our cause unto him, whatever may come upon us. Job is in affliction here, but my witness is in heaven. His conduct is in heaven. The way that he has acted is in heaven. And then it says, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. Dear friends, everything concerning us is with our God. My record is on high. And think of it, every one of us, all our records are on high. It is a mercy, dear friends, when all our record is on high of our former and past lives. But oh, the grace that should come, this abundant grace, this grace that should come and change us. Oh, my record is on high. What a mercy it is, dear friends, now reconciled unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a record of every man and woman born upon this earth. And there's a day, dear friends, when we're going to have to stand before him. And an account is going to be given in respect of our lives. But what a mercy if our witness is in heaven and our record is on high. Salvation in Jesus. This and that man was born in her. Of Zion it shall be said, this and that man shall be born in her. The glorious change that should come through Jesus and his gospel, his salvation through his cross, or the redemption of our souls through his blood and righteousness, is our mercy. My foot hath held his steps. What a mercy it is then. It is faith as well, isn't it? His faith. He says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, his faith, dear friends. His faith was still in Jesus. His faith was still there, fastened, dear friends, upon his dear Lord. And the Lord is that one indeed. Here that is spoken of, my foot hath held his steps. He is following the Lord in faith. And then we will not forget that great love that Job had for his God. You know, it is that love, reciprocating love, isn't it? That love, it's that love of our God seen and beheld through a precious Christ suffering upon the cross at Calvary, where greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that love, dear friends, that dying love of Christ will be communicated into the soul of a poor sinner, one that has been brought to know and to feel the blessedness of his peace and pardon through the blood of Jesus. Oh, that love, dear friends, will be a love. I would go as far as to say we will not know a greater love in our poor souls than at that time when we know that we're a pardoned sinner. The woman that came to the feet of Jesus and washed his feet and dried them with the tears and dried them with the hairs of her head. Dear friends, she came. She loved much because she had been forgiven much. Oh, Job had a love for his Lord. My foot hath held his steps. Oh, what wondrous blessings of grace that are given to the Lord's poor people to help them to continue even, dear friends, through their most trying circumstances and experiences that they should be brought to pass through here below. This, dear friends, it holds us to him. It holds us to him. And, dear friends, isn't he revealed as that one who dwells in us by faith and his spirit, and that love that constrains our poor souls towards him and holds us to him, because it's God's greatest love shown to sinners in a suffering Christ upon the cross. You see, and it was for those the most undeserving of it. My foot hath held his steps. And so here, nothing in Job, everything in Jesus. And then there was another wonderful truth that supported Job. You know, the Lord is always with his people. There isn't a moment in time, dear friends, when Jesus isn't with his people. And yes, the Old Testament saints, dear friends, there is not one single time when Jesus is without his people. He is always near to them, every one of them. And, you know, he is that one who is always close to hand. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, in this trouble, the Lord gave him a visit, dear friends. He knew that he would see him and behold him in that day, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Oh, dear friends, that enabled him to continue, didn't it? He was looking to the end, dear friends. He was looking to the blessing of eternal life. And he knew that he would see him in that day. Doesn't this help us, dear friends, and hold us to him? Because we want to come there. We want to be with him. We want to see him. Isn't that the truth, dear friends, of our salvation? Isn't that what we've sought for? Isn't that what we cried for mercy for? The forgiveness of our sins? That God might receive us? My foot hath held his steps. A visit from the Lord. Isn't that going to encourage him? Does it encourage us, dear friends, if the Lord will be pleased to give us a token for good? To help us to go forth on our way? Yes, in our trials and troubles, a visit from the Lord. How could Job ever say then that he could depart from him? He couldn't. The Lord knows when to appear for his people. And he came to Job. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept. Well, we may see this, dear friends. Job continued in his worship of his name. He continued to serve his Lord. And in those days, it was the head of the household that made the altars, dear friends, and worship in the household, because Job was placed between the Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and up to Moses. It was placed in that time somewhere. It was before the offerings and the sacrifices and so forth. In the temple worship was given, the tabernacle worship. But it was in their homes, just as Noah, when Noah came out of the ark, we see that he, if I can just turn to it, we see that he, It says, "And every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar." Why? It was his salvation, wasn't it? The ark, type of Christ. It was his salvation. The world, dear friends, the wicked have all been swallowed up. And there's Noah and his family saved. And it's time, dear friends, to build an altar. Praise, glory to the Lord for his salvation. Oh, dear friends, this is the wonderful truth. And then in respect of Abram, he was one that was brought out of his father's house. He was great. He was delivered, a great salvation for him. He brought out of a house of idolatry. And then the Lord gave him a precious promise. He says, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And he went on his journey to the land of Canaan. And then the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him, not only for giving him safe journey, but the gracious promise. And his faith, dear friends, was in the promise, the seed there of him that should come. "In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." It was in Christ. And he may built an altar. Praise and glory to God. And so it was with Job. He says, "His way have I kept." What a mercy then it is to keep and continue in the ways of the Lord. And then in respect also of Job, we must not make a mistake about this. Job would be a great praying man. And we do hear of it at the close of the book of Job, but he was a praying man. We have here, in respect of Job, the conflict, the solemn truth of these comforters that came and more aggravated his case. But we do not hear of those silent times, those quiet times of Job. He continued in worship and he would know the throne of grace, a praying man. And what a mercy it is in all our deepest afflictions, our troubles and trials. That is just the place we want to be, isn't it? The throne of grace. That is where we want to be. Praying men and praying women, coming to the Lord, seeking that the Lord would appear, give us strength to continue, seeking that he might come and be present with us and help us to continue in the affliction and support and strengthen us through his word. That is what we want, isn't it? A praying man. We may just go to that. It was their deliverance, wasn't it? It was Eliphaz that seemed to be the one that those solemn accusations in chapter 22, and the Lord seemed to draw him out from amongst them. Eliphaz. And we may just see that truth. And the Lord spoke these words unto Job. The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you." And dear friends, though they had given so much opposition to Job, We still have to pray, dear friends, for those who may even oppose us and go against us. They were those who were supposed to be comforters, you see. And sometimes the Lord's people may very solemnly fall into this same solemn place of trying to be a comforter and making judgments of the Lord's people. It's easy to make judgments, isn't it? We always think, well, they must have done something wrong. Well, here we have the truth, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Dear friends, his captivity was turned. A praying man, he knew the throne of grace, and may we know the throne of grace for ourselves in all our path, in all our trials, and in all our afflictions. We haven't got any other place, dear friends, for our poor souls to come to find any peace and rest and comfort. Only the Lord can give it. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept. There's another way here that Job has kept. He kept his word, didn't he? The word of his truth. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And dear friends, isn't it his word that we have today? Oh, let us keep his word. You know, we can see here all that we need, dear friends, in our troubles, our trials, our afflictions here below. All that we have in the scriptures. We have his word. And it is here where the Lord speaks to us. It is here where he answers our prayers and our petitions. And his word, dear friends, must be most precious to us. That is what we come to hear in the means of grace. We live upon his word, and we live upon his gospel. We live upon all the blessing of his promises to us, his word. And I do believe that Job had some hope in the word of the Lord. And this is the wonderful truth here, because he says that he has esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That was the food that Mary wanted at the feet of Jesus. It wasn't what Martha was, as it were, making and preparing. I'm not saying that was wrong or anything. It's a natural thing for us to do. But Mary came to the feet of Jesus. You see, Jesus had come to the house. And isn't it his word, you see? And she was drawn to him. And it wasn't denied her. Oh, she esteemed his word more than her necessary food. And so it is today, dear friends. We have his word. Oh, his way have I kept. And in his word are so many gracious promises, dear friends, that can strengthen our faith. We are to be still and to know that he is God. And that is a great mercy in respect of Job. He was ready to be submissive to this great afflictive path that he was to pass through here. And he says, for it is he that performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And so, dear friends, he honoured his Lord. And that is our mercy. Keep his word and his sayings in our hearts, and then he says, and not declined. He hasn't declined, dear friends. His God is his covenant God. He hasn't declined from him. He hasn't gone back from him. Do you remember those that Jesus spake to in the 6th of John? And he spake some things that were very hard to receive and very hard to understand. The eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood. They thought it perhaps to be in some literal way, and the impossibility of it. Their poor minds. But it was spiritually, you see. And there were many that walked no more with him. Oh, how solemn it is, dear friends, walked no more with him. They declined, they turned back and went from him. Dear friends, we do not know where they went, but if they didn't follow Jesus, it doesn't matter where they went, they were going to be left in an awful place, in an awful condition, without Jesus. Oh, and they walked no more with him. Ah, but you see, the Lord's dear people, they need him. And this wondrous truth that the Lord has come to the help and the need of his people on so many occasions and so many experiences of it in their lives. Oh no, his way have I kept and not declined. What a mercy it is then to keep his way and not decline, not to turn back, dear friends. Turning back, dear friends? Looking to self, seeking, dear friends, to try and bring ourselves to our own course? No, not at all, dear friends. Jesus only, you see, and not declined. It was that truth in Psalm 44 also, and that present they were complaining of present evils that seem to come upon the church, but the church here in Psalm 44 was in verse 17 and 18. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Dear friends, what a mercy it is to hold on to the Lord, to hold on to his word, to be faithful to him, and his fear be in our hearts, to hold fast to him. It says in verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. You know, it was the Lord that gave permission, wasn't it, in respect of this affliction that should come upon him. Job wouldn't know, dear friends, of this conversation, I don't believe, between the Lord and Satan, and this permission for all these awful boils to come upon him. But neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. And dear friends, let us not go back from his word. Let us keep his word. Let us keep his sayings in our hearts. His commandments are not grievous. Jesus is that only one to bring us through our course. He is our only help. There is no one else whom we can look to. No going back, dear friends. Oh, it is Jesus, dear friends, that will bring us through. And remember the end of Job. There was another thought that had just come into my mind. He says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept. James commends the patience of Job, doesn't he? And you've seen the end of Job. Oh, that grace of patience. Oh, let us pray for it. Let us know what it is to be in possession in our poor souls. This patience, David says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. Oh, we need this patience then, dear friends. Patience. Can you see Job with his potsherd scraping his body, dear friends? How long he did that for, I don't know. One boil, as it were, coming up on top of another. Our time is gone. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Sunday school will recommence this afternoon at Bethany at 2:30. And tomorrow evening, There'll be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett, who also hopes to preach for us on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach. Our closing hymn is 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure, unerring light. On thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059.
Thank you.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.